I see that our speaker has provided his own lunch. I'm not sure if that is an indication of his plans for today, but I know that he has endeavored to be an instrument of God, and that prepared himself for this task this morning. And I ask that you would give our brother Dwayne your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Bob. It is good to be here with you today, and good to see each one of you here. This morning, I want to talk about habits. Now, how many of you out there have a habit? I don't see everybody's hand, but we all have habits. A lot of times you think of habits as being bad. Habits can be good or bad, can't they? Confucius said that the nature of man is always the same. It is their habits that separate them. There's probably a lot of truth in that, isn't there? We know that the natural man is an enemy to God. And, you know, it's our habits, the things that we do in life that do separate us. First, I want to talk about four words. They're need, want, habit, and addiction. Now, their definitions kind of overlap each other, and they have other meanings, but the definitions I'll give you today are the ones that I want to use. And for right now, we're talking about temporal things. We're not talking about spiritual, but temporal things. The first word is need. Need is a requirement, something necessary, being essential. Something that we need in this life. What are some examples of that? What are the very basic things we need?
Food, water.
What's the most important thing?
Air.
How long do we live without air? Not very long. What else do we need?
Love.
Shelter. We need some type of shelter. You know, after we get past food, water, and air, the other things, those we have to have or we won't survive very long. But shelter, you know, here in the desert, if we don't have some type of shelter, we're probably going to die, aren't we? If you're up in Antarctica, you're going to die real quick without shelter. So there's things we need that are of a lesser degree. Clothes. We need clothes, don't we? There are things that we need in this life. Let's look at the next one. Want. To have a strong desire for, to wish for, or to crave. Usually these things aren't needed, are they, in our temporal life? We don't have to have them. What are some things that we want?
Toys.
What?
Toys.
Love. Ice cream, okay, yeah, good one, we want that. It's kind of questionable whether we could live without that or not, but...
Pop.
There's things that we want, you know, people, I mean, in society today, you know, they want the boats and all the toys. There's a lot of wants, but they're not needs, are they? Now, the third one is habit. Habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. An acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntarily. Can be good or bad. What are some examples of habits?
Sleep.
Yeah, we sleep. Every night we go to sleep, don't we? Starbucks. Sure. Absolutely. Chewing your fingernails.
Waking up.
Going to church. That's a habit, isn't it? There's lots of habits. You know, habits, like we said, there are good habits and there can be bad habits. We need to be cautious of the bad habits because they can turn into addictions. We have to realize that, you know, we have this list of needs and wants. Those things can and often do turn into habits. And sometimes these bad habits can turn into addictions. The fourth one, addiction. It's the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming, as narcotics, to such an extent that its cessation causes severe trauma. What are some addictions?
Starbucks.
TV. Could be. Generally, addictions are thought of as being more negative, but it not necessarily. You know, smoking, drinking, drugs, those kinds of things are definitely addictions. But these things are out there. And, you know, we have to be careful to not put our trust in the things of this world. Because these things we're talking about are the things of this world. Now, we know we have to put trust in our air and our water and our food. We have to have those things. But so many of these other things we have to be cautious about putting our trust in these things. And it's very easy, especially in society today, to get in the habit of putting our trust in the things of the world. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that today that are in turmoil, aren't there? Things in this nation, some things that many people depend on. The Social Security system. We have people on Social Security. We have people that are getting older that are hoping for Social Security. But, you know, as the baby boomers start retiring, there's some issues, aren't there? Just this last week, United Airlines, you know, they unloaded $9.8 billion in employee pension obligations to this Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. You know, it's the biggest failure, such failure ever. You know, they think monthly pensions could shrink by about 40%. I think Becky's brother, he worked for United. I'm not sure how this is going to affect him, but things that of the world that we're dependent upon, you know, not so sure about. You know, Walmart has 6,000 suppliers. 6,000. And 5,000 of them are from one country. What country is that?
China.
What is happening in China today? You know, China is booming. Walmart last year imported $18 billion worth of goods from China. You know, by far the majority of the items from Walmart come from China. And as we see today that China and India are growing nations, they are changing the world. They're using more oil. They're using more steel. I know my company, in my department, we use a lot of steel. Well, in the last year and a half, steel prices have more than doubled. And do you know why? Because China and India are using so much steel because of their growing economies. There is being these shifts in the world. And we have to be aware of those things. You know, that things that we know today may not always be there like we see them. We can't put our trust in these things of the world. You know, we have to be in a habit of putting our trust in God no matter what happens around us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. God knows. He knows everything. He knows what we need. He knows these things that we need to sustain life. And when we pray to Him, we need to ask Him. And if we're serving Him diligently, He will provide those things. We don't need to worry about those things. Let's turn on over to verse 31, that same chapter. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And if we do that, we don't need to worry about those other things. No matter what happens around us, you know, no matter what's in the future, we don't need to worry about those things. Because God will provide for us if we are seeking Him first. If we put Him first in our life, that is a promise that He has given us. You know, it's easy to develop bad habits, isn't it? I got a little article here. It says, breaking bad habits. It says, good habits are hard to develop, but easy to live with. And bad habits are easy to develop and hard to live with. How true that is. Are those true words? According to Brian Tracy, a well-known motivational teacher, you may recognize that to successfully manage habit changes, breaking bad habits may be required in order to develop new ones. Breaking bad habits takes at least 21 days. We've heard that a lot, 21 days, to break or form a habit. Of course, in difficult cases, it can take as long as a year. Here's an example of the process of changing unhealthy eating habits to healthy eating habits. Suppose you drink coffee with sugar daily. Sorry, coffee drinkers, but that's the example he used here. Suppose you drink coffee with sugar daily, and you want to change the habit to drink herbal tea without sugar. At first, it may be challenging to break the bad habit of drinking coffee. You'll have to use self-discipline for the first few weeks, but gradually it will get easier. Once you're able to change the habit to a new healthy one, it will serve you very well. Habits are remarkable because they don't require thinking. You just do it for years until you find yourself changing the habit again. Once you have that habit, you just do it, don't you? He has five steps here. Five steps for breaking bad habits. The first one is awareness. You must become aware of your habits. What is this habit exactly? How is this bad habit or group of bad habits affecting you? How is this habit affecting others? For example, smoking often has negative effects on others as well as on you. Bad habits probably almost always affect somebody else. Number two, wanting to change. Once you're aware of it, you have to want to change. As someone with a health problem, you must decide that breaking bad habits through a conscious effort is a worthy goal. You must convince yourself that the change in the habit is worth the effort involved. Number three, commitment. You must be determined to do whatever it takes for breaking bad habits so that you can better control your life. You make a decision that no matter what, you will change the habit. You do the work required to stop smoking, eating too much, eating processed foods, not exercising, drinking coffee or other beverages with caffeine. with caffeine in them, eating too much sugar or fat, drinking alcohol, procrastinating, etc. You have to be committed to it. The third one, consistent action. It is important to take consistent daily actions for breaking the bad habits that have been causing problems and to take the actions to develop new habits. We suggest doing this process one step at a time rather than trying to do it all at once. Sometimes changing habits can be done cold turkey, like smoking, and sometimes it works better to make a gradual change. Be sure to give yourself positive rewards often for taking small actions toward changing a habit. Continual day-by-day actions are what are critical. This is not about an occasional action or step. It is about consistent action. You have to work at it. And the fifth one, perseverance. Perseverance. There will be times when you question whether it is all worth it. You will say to yourself that breaking these bad habits is too difficult, that you are too weak to change. Your old self, often so comfortable living with the bad habits, is trying to hold on. Breaking your old patterns may require prayer. Interesting, isn't it? Prayer. We all know how important that is. But it's nice to see that in an article like this. Visualize regularly the rewards for following through and the costs of not following through on breaking the bad habits, and especially the value to your future of building healthy new lifestyle habits. Get support from others, especially other people who want to make changes in their lives, and read about people who have been successful in breaking bad habits. Affirm that no matter what, you will not backslide into your old bad habit patterns. We have to be aware of our habits. We have to want to change. We have to be committed to changing. We have to be consistent action and perseverance. And that last part is just get support from others. That can be very important because sometimes we may not be able to do it on our own. We may need that help from others. You'll notice I have a few little examples up here. You know, there's, I don't know if any of you heard it, Bill Cosby had a little tape one time, and he was talking about chocolate cake. Have any of you heard that one? He's getting the kids their breakfast ready, and he's up in the morning, and there's a big chocolate cake there from last night. And the kids want the chocolate cake. You know, they want chocolate cake for breakfast. I mean, who wouldn't? And he looks at this chocolate cake. And, you know, in the back of his mind, he knows he's going to be in trouble. You know, the wife is going to do something to him for giving him chocolate cake. But he reasons within himself. He looks at that chocolate cake and he thinks, chocolate cake, eggs, milk, flour, those are good things, aren't they? Good things that are in the chocolate cake. So it must be okay to give the kids the chocolate cake. Well, of course, he gives the kids chocolate cake, and I guess you probably know what happened to him when his wife found out that he gave them the chocolate cake. Here I have a Hostess cupcake. How many of you think this is good for you? Michelle does. Anything chocolate. So why do we eat them? We like them, don't we? We want to. We want one. Do we need this? We want it? Yeah. Could it be a habit? Maybe. Sure. Could be. Chocolate cake. You'll notice most of these things are empty, and this one, there was two of these at one time. So I did have to make a little bit of a sacrifice in my research for this sermon. What goes in this bag? Potato chips. We all recognize this bag, don't we? It has potato chips in it. You can buy these at work or wherever, you know, the vending machines. How much do you pay for a bag of these? 50 cents? 75? A dollar? That's scary, isn't it? For my example today, I'm using 50 cents. Now, we bought this bag of potato chips. It's 1 ounce. 1 ounce even of potatoes. For we're going to save 50 cents. How much is that a pound? $8 a pound, isn't it? $8 a pound for potatoes. Okay, we go to the grocery store and we see a 10-pound bag of potatoes for $80. How many of us are going to throw one of them in our basket? Not a chance we're going to throw one in those baskets. There's going to be an investigation, isn't there? Scandalous. $80 for a 10-pound bag of potatoes. Yet, we paid that same equivalent price, didn't we? For this little bag of potato chips. Why did we do that? We wanted it. We wanted it, didn't we? Didn't matter what the cost was. Didn't matter we were paying $80 for a 10-pound bag of potato equivalent. We wanted this. Do we need it? No. We want it? Yeah. Could it be a habit? Yeah, maybe. Maybe so. My next example is something that's near and dear to my heart. Mountain Dew. My favorite beverage. You know, I probably used to average one a day, maybe even a little more. I've cut back on these. These are naturally, this is my favorite beverage, and it is the highest calorie and the most caffeine of any of them. How many calories are in here? No, not that high. It's got 170. Like Coke and Pepsi, they got 140 or 150. It has 170 calories. Okay, I drink one can of Mountain Dew, 170 calories. That's not too bad, is it? Let's spread this out a little ways. Okay, I drink one of these a day for a year, 365 days times 170 calories. That is 62,050 calories. We're going to divide that by 2,000 calories, which I know a lot of diets they talk about, you know, a 2,000 calorie diet. We're going to divide that by 2,000 calories, and that comes out to be 31 days worth of calories. One full month's worth of calories just drinking one of these a day. Okay, let's take this out a little farther. Let's take this out for 50 years. 3,102,500 calories. One a day. There's probably people that drink two or three of these a day. Divided by our 2,000 calories per day, that comes out to be 1,551 days, or 4 1/4 years worth of calories. Just one a day. Seems simple, doesn't it? When you drink that one Mountain Dew, do you think about the long-term consequences? No, it's just one a day. They add up, don't they? So why do we drink it? Same reasons before, isn't it? Because we want it, because we like it. And all three of these things, we don't need them. Unless by chance that we are on a deserted island that only has Mountain Dew, Hostess cupcakes, and potato chips. And then we would need them for survival. But I don't expect that to happen to any of us. The Mountain Dew definitely can be habit forming. It's loaded with caffeine. Now my next example. These are clean. They're new, brand new. Somehow this topic came up at work. I have no idea how. I don't know if it says something about our intelligence or what, but we were talking about putting on our shoes and socks. And You know, how do you put on your shoes and socks? And I've thought about it. You know, what order? What order do you put on your shoes and socks? How many of you know? Quite a few of you do, maybe about half. I thought I knew, and I was right, but I didn't know for sure. But it's such a habit. I heard a couple of comedians one time doing a skit on this, and they both had their ideas of how you put on your shoes and socks. One of them said, well, you have to put on both socks and then your shoes. And the other one said, oh, no, you got to put on a sock and a shoe. And his reasoning was that the house caught on fire at that very moment, that at least you would have one shoe on and you could get out easier. And they both had equally ridiculous reasons for how to put on your shoes and socks. I put on my left sock, my left shoe, my right sock, and my right shoe every time without exception. And I don't even know I'm doing it. It's a habit. And it really doesn't matter, does it? Unless you put the socks on over the shoes. But any other way you do it, it doesn't matter. It's second nature. We often do things without thinking. They are our habits. And they can be good or they can be bad. Now let's look at some of these consequences for bad habits in our spiritual lives. You know, sometimes we convince ourselves that what we are doing will be all right, that it will be good for us, or that it will be not that bad. Like Bill Cosby and the chocolate cake. He analyzed that, and it had these good ingredients, so it's not that bad. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have to be cautious in our spiritual lives that we don't get caught up into these things because they can lead us away. We can think that, oh, this is okay or this is not that bad. But over time, it can lead us to destruction. We need to always be mindful of that and be cautious of that. Sometimes we don't care what the cost or the consequences are for our actions in our spiritual life. Sometimes we don't care. We want to do it for right now, and we're not thinking of those long-term consequences. You know, kind of like the potato chips. We're not thinking that we're spending $80 for a 10-pound bag. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be herewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We have to be cautious of these things. Especially in the society, in the world we live in today, it is so easy to get caught up into these things. I know so many people at work, they've got to have all the toys. They don't care what the cost is. They don't care. They want to work all the overtime they can. They don't care how much debt they get in. They don't care what the cost is. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's the reward for some of these things when we're not following after God's will, that they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It can bring destruction to us if we are not careful in our lives. Sometimes we don't realize what the consequences are. Like the Mountain Dew. We don't realize, do we? You know, we just drink one at a time. Who'd have thought there'd have been that many calories? You'd have been drinking that many calories. Don't think of the consequences, the long-term consequences. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the consequences. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is only a short list of things. It says in that, in the very first line, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that are unrighteous, those that are doing these types of things, that is the consequences for our sins. And we know that if we are involved in these things, that we can repent and be forgiven and be pure again before God. But it's something that we always need to be mindful of and something we need to be watching out for. Sometimes we don't think about what we are doing. We are unaware. That falls very much into these habits, doesn't it? We are unaware. Kind of like putting on the shoes and the socks. You know, we do that in the morning. We're just unaware of it. It's a habit. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 21. Verses 34 through 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We have to be aware of where we are at in our life, where we are at spiritually. We must always be prepared. We must be prepared to meet our Lord. Every day we must be prepared. We can't be unaware of the things that are going on around us, or can't be unaware of the things that He has for us in the Scriptures. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to pray about these things. Pray that our Lord will guide us and direct us, that we will be aware of where we're at, aware of where we're at in our spiritual lives. Are the things that we need to do, things that we need to change, that will prepare us for when we will meet our Lord and Savior. You know, earlier someone mentioned church attendance as being a habit. Church attendance is a good habit, isn't it? Church attendance is very important to our soul's well-being. It's important to our salvation. Because this is where we come to learn the things that we need to know. The things that our Lord has for us. the messages that will make us aware of where we're at in our spiritual lives. But you know, we have to be careful of this habit, coming to church. It's a good habit. It's an important habit. But we have to come here for the right reasons. We have to come here with an honest heart, with a desire to learn. We can't become complacent. You can't just come here because it's a habit and come here and sit down in your usual pew. As part of this habit of church attendance, it needs to be desiring to learn more of our Lord and Savior, to learn what we need to do. You know, in our life, we need to try to avoid habits, bad habits. We need to try to avoid them if at all possible. Because some of these habits, these bad habits, they can lead to addictions. And sometimes people can't recover from them. They can't recover, and they're lost. And bad habits that we do have in our life, our spiritual bad habits, we need to always strive to eliminate them. Because they can destroy us. They can lead us to destruction. Something that we need to work on every day. That's what our spiritual life is, really. Every day. Every day, taking one step closer. Doing the best that we can each day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's an important scripture, isn't it? Abstain from all appearance of evil. It goes farther than abstain from evil, doesn't it? You know, there's things out there that are evil that we know are evil. We know we have to stay away from them. But if it even appears to remotely be evil, we need to stay away from it. That scripture is very, very wise counsel. Because if we don't do that, we can get into these bad habits that can turn into addictions that can lead us to destruction. In Alma chapter 21, verse 18, it says, for the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Sin is not okay. It is never okay. God does not allow it. We can't say, oh, I just have a little sin. He does not look on it with the least degree of allowance. We need to avoid it. But he has provided a way for us, hasn't he? Because we have all sinned. It's not okay. But we have all done it. But he has given us that way to come back unto him, hasn't he? Through that repentance, coming to him with a contrite spirit, seeking forgiveness. Coming with that humble heart If we do that, he will wipe that slate clean for us. But we must come unto him. You know, we always need to, in our life, we need to strive to keep our good habits. Keep those good habits and don't let them slip away. And try to form new ones. Form these new good habits that will help us in our daily walk of life. And don't ever lose sight of the importance of these good habits and what they can do for us spiritually. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence due to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things are in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are habits that we need to form or develop. These things need to be in our lives. These are good habits that will help us to grow spiritually. You notice how this scripture has them all tied together. And that's kind of the way our spiritual life is. These things are all tied together. If we form and develop these habits, we can get stronger and stronger and stronger. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A warning there. A warning to us if we don't heed these things and to have these good things in our lives. You know, there are some things in our life that we need to do. Some things that we must do for eternal life. They are requirements. We talked about these things here. They're not needs, are they? But God has some spiritual things that we need, that we must have. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 13. Starting at verse 6. It's on page 161. Wherefore, I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord shewed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, then, how much more need have we, being holy, to be baptized? Yea, even by water. That is one of the requirements we must have, to be baptized. And even if our Lord Jesus Christ, who needed to be baptized, who had no sin, how much greater is it that we need that? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy, But notwithstanding, he being holy, he shewed unto the children of men, and according to the flesh, he humbled himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it sheweth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter. Having set the example before them. That is a straight path and a narrow gate to salvation. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. Some things that we must do. We must repent of our sins. We must follow His commandments. And we must be baptized. Christ set the example for us. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 19, verse 66. It's on page 450. And it is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good. They're judged by their works, but it says here that the desires of their hearts were good. That needs to be a part of our life, our daily life. The desires of our heart need to be good. If they are, we won't have these bad spiritual problems, will we? These bad spiritual habits. If the desires of our heart are good every day, we won't get caught up into those bad habits. In 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 53, it says, and blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's an important scripture to us. You know, if the desires of our heart are to do good, we will have that desire, won't we? We will have that desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It needs to be part of our daily life. Every day. Can't take a vacation from it. If we do, what happens? The bad habits, don't they? The bad habits creep in and can take over our lives. You know, our life is a kind of a funny process sometimes, isn't it? We were talking about this in Sunday school class today. You know, it's kind of one step at a time. Because, you know, we're not like God. And we're, who can see the end? He can see what's out ahead. He knows what's there before us. We have to take it one step at a time. Form these good habits that will lead us in the right direction so that we will be receptive to the leading of the Spirit and the guiding and directing of our Lord and Savior. Because if we seek Him first, He will be there for us in every situation. You know, all these things are up to us. It's up to us individually. We know we each work out our own salvation. But we need to be diligent. Be diligent in serving our Lord. Because I know He has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for us. I believe that God has a plan for all the righteous that serve Him. But it's up to us, up to each one of us, whether that will be fulfilled or not. He has a plan out there for us, but we have to get on that path and be obedient to Him. And if we are, He will bless us. And He will guide us and direct us through every aspect of our life. What a wonderful promise that is. Thank you.